All right, we have here Thuto Sobala Jr. again joining the Stem Cell Queen podcast. Thuto has become my friend, and he just shows up out of nowhere. He's like, I'm in town. No, but he's been getting his foot treated here over time, and he had already had previous surgery, so he had some metal plates put in there, and so really... the whole point of why we did the stem cell therapy to begin with was to help with scar tissue, previous scar tissue, and to help with that movement on his foot, which he's been doing great in. And then we touched some topics today on, he was saying, why do I have occasional pain? And we talked about, you know, he said he went to Aspen and that he had no pain there. And I said, well, it's like much like putting an ice pack on. His inflammation was all the way down, but for those of you that have any type of implants that are viewers, you're always going to deal with that. And that's not something that stem cells can really like take away. But his quality of life came back with that. And so he's been able to move it around. And so, yeah. So if you want to talk about that real quick.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, I'm excited because we both, last time, I look like shit on the podcast, okay? That day before, one of my other cancer patients had given me CBD, and I was like, my body went into recovery mode. So I was like swollen that day. I look like shit. I was like the worst podcast how I looked. I mean, the topic was great, but like I was like, oh my god, I have to put this out because it's Thuto. But I did not. I looked horrible. And then he's post stem cell therapy. I'm like, oh my god, you look like your son. Like his whole forehead, the lines. You have no Botox, right?
No, not yet.
He looks great. My god, he's lost so much weight. You lost
30 pounds.
30 pounds post stem cell therapy. I said, I know we did this for your foot, but let's talk about everything else going on here. So, so yeah, you look amazing.
Yeah, I really do feel a lot better, a lot better.
Yeah, so that's awesome. And now I'm trying to talk him into getting on test, and I'm like, you got to do it, you know, because he's running around all over the place. And that was one of the things I wanted to cover is like you have an upcoming event, which is
February 24th. In Tokyo, Japan. Nice. We have a Prime Video show, 3 world title fights.
I love it. Well, I definitely am going to be tuning into that one. I love Japan, and I always tell you this, like Japan is so, the people there, it's just different. Like I could see why my cousin had left the US, my cousin Rocky. He's passed away now, but at the time he was a teacher, an English teacher, and he went to Japan and never wanted to come back. Yep. And I'm like, why don't you want to come back? And then when I went out there, I was like, oh my God, I love Japan. I need to stay out here longer. And my kids have been wanting to go. And then I have a patient that flies down here from Japan. And he was telling me about the economy right now. And he was like, it's so cheap to fly to Japan right now.
Yeah, it's very cheap now.
I was like, $150 or something crazy from here.
It may not be very cheap to fly because the tickets are not cheap. But
how much the cost of living? Like?
In economy right now, maybe it could be $2,000-$3,000.
No way.
Which before you could get it for $1,000. So, I mean.
So the flights went up.
Flights went up. But the cost of living, it's really with the exchange rate now.
That is so crazy. And that's your flight flying from Miami or from here?
Well, it could be from either one.
Because I found a flight for $150.
To Japan?
Yes.
Well, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? That's what I said. I told the kids, I'm like, let's go skiing over there. And he told me, he's like, yeah, something happened just recently and the rates dropped. And you should fly over there.
It could be. I mean, maybe in the last week or a couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very recent thing. And so he's like, you should get your flights. And I'm like, oh my God.
Because we had a show in January there, January 23rd.
And it was still super expensive. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that surprises me because after you told me that, and when I went, I didn't pay that much.
No, I've been going for years and years.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe you should fly here and then leave from LA.
Yep.
There's cheaper flights going on or something.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what's going on at that fight? Who goes? Talk to me a little bit about it because it's so different than the fight world here.
Yeah, the main event, it's Takuma Inoue. He's the WBA bantamweight champion. He's the brother of Naoya Inoue, who's probably the best fighter pound for pound in the world now for in my opinion. He's fighting in the former world champion, Jerwin Ancajas.
What weight is that?
118. Bantamweight. And that's the main event.
I could be a bantamweight fighter.
Yeah, definitely.
My stump tail's just kidding. I always say that. I'm going to go fighting the guys next door trying to get me in. I'm like, okay. It's just, you know, when you're surrounded around some of the greatest people in the boxing world, like, how do you not want to start pounding on a bag?
Definitely.
You know, I'm like, I'm looking at him like, maybe I should get a boxing bag in my, you know, like,
take
in
some, some of the stress out.
start boxing or something, you know? I'm like, you just, you're around these guys and you're training with them. And I'm like, I don't know. You just want to start fighting. It's crazy. Yeah. I think I might take up jiu-jitsu, actually. Yeah. I feel like I did Krav Maga in the Air Force. They teach you Krav Maga. And then prior to going in, I did kickboxing. So, you know, it's like it's been 20 something years, but I'm healthy. So I know that I could just pick it up if
definitely.
I wanted to.
If you want to make your pro debut in boxing, let me know.
I know. Shoot. Angela's old too, man. For her dog, she's still boxing and shit. Maybe I might. Angela's been trying to get me on the mat for so long. I'm like,
I was just going to tell you about Angela. I said, when you told me about
her,
you got to talk to her.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love the sport. And like I was telling you, I don't even know how I got into it all. Like how I got so connected. It's just like it happened.
It happens like that. And to get out is going to be hard.
I can't get out.
You will never get out.
I'm like, I can't get out.
We always say boxing is like a drug. That's what we say in the industry. You know, you can't get out.
Then all of a sudden I go to a fight and then I'm at an after party and I'm meeting all the fighters and they become your friends and it's the norm. And then all of a sudden they start hitting you up about health stuff. And yeah, it's just kind of, it's like a little community of people that all kind of know each other. It's pretty cool.
Definitely.
The last episode, we went over the politics and all of that stuff. So like I've gotten to learn on the back end, you know, contracts and just like being smart in as far as like learning the promoter's role, the manager's role, which I didn't know this, but not everybody has a manager, you know,
not everybody has a manager.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a really good promoter like yourself, you don't need one.
Sometimes you don't need one, but it's up, you know, it's up to the discretion of the fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some promoters out there that are really honest and fair. I mean, not to say everyone, but there's people out there.
You're only talking about yourself, really.
No, not really. I know a couple, but that you it's your choice to have a manager or not.
It's your
choice, but you can manage yourself too.
Yeah. I just think it's like so amazing. And I feel like we're at a point where, I mean, you have generations of you doing this with your family. This is like second nature to you guys. You guys know everybody. If you want to make something happen, you just pick up the phone and call somebody at this point because you have all the connections. But like, I do feel like in the world that is constantly evolving with health and just like we're learning new things, there's new technology coming out with how we can track our athletes that, you know, we were talking about, which we'll cover. But like, I do feel like everything's changing. Do you feel like the world of boxing, as far as how the promoters aspect is involved, do you feel like it's going to change or it's going to stay the same? Like,
I think it's going to stay the same.
I feel like it's going to stay the same.
It's been like that for years, you know, a little better, a little worse. But that's the way the industry works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to, I mean, that's my opinion. If you want to make drastic changes, you know, it might not work.
Yeah.
The way it works now.
Well, I think because you have like the WBO and you have all the different commissions involved and stuff. So they kind of regulate what change can really happen. But the change that I was talking about is more like how the promoter's involved. Like maybe in the past you needed a manager and you needed the promoter. Now you no longer really need that because promoter's kind of picking up what the manager would be doing, right? Like getting the actual fights and then promoting the fights. And maybe stepping into the contractual part of it more than they're usually used to. I feel like that was a change that kind of occurred that I seen occur. Maybe just because I didn't know at the time, but now I'm seeing like, you know, how some of the fighters are doing it. Like you have some of these other guys that are actually taking fighters underneath them. They're managing other fighters.
Yep.
And that's like something that you would never see in the past.
Yeah, you wouldn't see it that much at all. People, they want to help the young guys that they're preparing themselves for when they retired. they will keep themselves in the industry.
Right. I think which that's is good, which super is good. Smart. I mean, which is smart. Good. I think Danny's doing that right now. JoJo's doing that.
We need people in the industry that's been in the industry to stay in the industry.
Like, right.
Happens a lot with the. This is just an example with the boxing commissions. You go to some state, and then you one of the inspectors that is regulating the bandage and the word you're going to use in the corner. Mm-hmm. Probably never been in the boxing industry, in the boxing world. It might not even be a fan, and he's just trying to learn. You know, so when we have people like former boxers, former trainers, whatever, that can stay in the industry doing something for the sport too, people with knowledge.
Yeah. No, I get it. And I do feel like on the health aspect of it, everything kind of ties into that. I feel like things are going to change. Why are they going to change? Because I'm starting to see it on other sports, like USADA, and then you have like, you know, boxing commission, and then you have like the NFL their health handbook, and like you see like stem cells is becoming more adaptive in and accepted. They're like, okay, if you have an IND, you've shown that the product is safe, the FDA has already cleared the product for use, then you can go ahead and use it. It's like it's no longer considered experimental with a lot of the different sports leagues, and they're using it. You know, I'm having these meetings with like different people who are meeting with leagues, and that's the whole thing is like, they just wanna make sure that the product is under IND, that is FDA approved, that it's safe, it's effective, and it's gonna create some better results, not gonna injure any athletes. They're okay with it. So I do feel like, with that, you're going to bring in a new athlete, because maybe before, like in the NBA, once these guys' knees went out, they're done.
Or have to wait a long time to recuperate too.
Yeah. So like Kobe,
it's even better for the team. You need the guy to be there.
Yeah.
To be
well,
ready.
These are assets. These are like, they're paying big bucks for these athletes. You know, you're paying money for your athlete. You know, you have the NBA that's paying, they're trading. And there's so much money on the table when it comes to these contracts of like what these players, what they're buying them for. And so like, why would you not want your athlete to work at the best performance possible? Right. They're doing all these things. You see all of these different sports trainers and, therapist, and I know a couple of them that work with the NFL, and it's like they're doing all this tech as much as they possibly can to get better recovery rates, to bring the inflammation down because they're all beat up post games, and then to get them back out there without injury, or to just recover faster from an injury, right? To get their player back out there so they're not sitting on the bench. And they're doing all this stuff, and how stem cells not tying into it yet? It's just a matter of time. Because before it was like, oh, UFC Institute, we'll go ahead and approve for you to go ahead and treat this fighter, but we're not going to do it in-house. We're going to do it at your clinic, right? Type of thing. Yep. Versus now they're like, hey, we need something to bring this in-house. So I think it's the smartest thing that they could do is to regulate it, to control it. So USADA did that. USADA actually gave us the approval. That was really hard to get. I mean, they first denied it and then approved it. And it was like, oh man, this is crazy.
Definitely. Like, I'm getting the same feedback. I mean, it's everywhere. And when I tell people my story too, I'm getting the same feedback everywhere.
Like what are some of the feedback that they're saying?
People are talking more about stem cells, are accepting them more. Before would have said, you know, maybe including doctors, you know, they wouldn't recommend before. Now they are.
There's a funny story of that. My sister-in-law, whose family is always like the worst for listening to you when it comes to like medical stuff, right? So my family knows that I own a stem cell institute and I do stem cell research and I supply so many different clinics everywhere, right? And my sister-in-law gets an ace, or she a torn Achilles, okay? She's like walking on this for like, I don't know how long with this torn Achilles. She's like, it hurts. She's complaining. She goes to her doctor. She doesn't come here to the institute, right? She goes to her doctor and her doctor's like, honestly, we're either going to have to like cut here, do this, do that, you know, or he's like, or you can explore the option of stem cell therapy. And then she's like, my sister owns a stem cell institute. And he's like, well, what are you doing here? You got to go to your sister. So they sent her down here. My doctor, Dr. Chase, injects her, you know, and the next day she's walking around on it. And I'm like, it's not it's not repaired. It's just all your inflammation's down. But she's like, I don't care. I'm walking on it. I have zero pain right now. She's like, I'm good. And I'm like, and then my daughter, like a day later, she tears her, she's probably like a grade 2 tear, you know. It's like right on her ankle. I mean, we're just waiting for swelling to go down. We're still dealing with it. Well, anyway, she's like, oh my God, sis, I can't see her in this pain. Take her to the doctor. I'm like you did. You went to the doctor. And I'm like, I'm going to take her to the doctor like you did. And then I'm like, what did your doctor do? Your doctor sent you back to me. I'm like, so shut up and stay out of it. And she's like, I know, it's so hard. She's like, she tells me, I'm stupid. I just was raised by the public, you know. I'm like, oh my God, sis, like, you know. And so it's like, that's our norm. Our norm is to run to the doctor, which you have a doctor uncle, you know. Is he doing stem cells or is he?
No, not yet. I'm talking him to it.
Yeah, see, and it's like, they're
looking. I already did.
There's a lot of looky-loos, right? There's a lot of like providers that are like, I want to do it. I'm just so scared. I don't know how
to. He's starting to believe in it. You know, he didn't believe much on.
Well, like, he probably seen your foot.
Yep. Oh, well, I told him. Yeah. You know, he believes me because he's seen my foot since the beginning.
Yeah. So he's like, knows. Oh, wow. So, you know, the whole thing is, it's not a miracle shot. You know, this is age zero umbilical cord stem cells, comes from the cord. It's ethically, you know, taken. This blood has never hit the baby. It's separate from the mom, but it is serology tested. So we take out the RNA, make it a universal type, right? And I always go through that whole thing because I feel like it has to be repeated so many times. People just don't understand. The first thing they think is, oh my God, you're unethically killing babies to get stem cells. And it's like, no, this is very ethical, ethically done. And it's very highly, highly monitored by the FDA and how we're doing it. And it's only available under the scope of research here in the United States. There is no approved stem cells that is just can be marketed, right? And so we have to do it by indication. So it's like, if we're treating a meniscus tear, or we're treating osteoarthritis of the knee, like every indication has to be studied, which we've studied so many because I get all the feedback from all the doctors that I supply, right? All the research that they're doing. And we treat anything from terminal cancer, which stem cells play a part in the recovery. They don't play a part in curing a patient, but they do play a big part in like recovering organ function or getting a stronger immune system. The same thing with the different organs, like heart failure, we've talked about that, or something as like orthopedic, right? It could become over 220 different tissue types. So talking about bone to get the bone marrow to produce more blood, or tissues, you know, like rebuilding all these tears. And I seen Dr. Balraj actually published something. He ran the Beverly Hills Stem Cell Institute before he passed away during COVID. But he was doing a lot of NFL and pro athletes. He did some famous people like, Paul Abdul. And like, you know, he came out on the doctors and stuff. He was using our product. And he was, he published something saying that he fixed a complete tear. Complete tear. I'm like, how did you do that with my stem cells? I was like, I have no idea how you did that. But I mean, like, he showed the before and after MRI. And I was like, what? So like, I've seen some crazy stuff. I personally had my pubic bone, well, pubic symphysis. It was a 10 centimeter fracture when I delivered my daughter Heaven. So this happened going on 7 years ago. And the whole thing just popped open. I mean, this is like something you would see on an extreme accident. And the whole thing just popped open. So after I delivered, I couldn't walk. I couldn't lift my leg. I couldn't bend it back. They had me in a pelvic binder. They said, you're going to have to wait almost a year for your hormones to stop producing relaxin so that your ligaments are not like taffy so that we can bolt you back together. There is no way. You have to get bolted back together. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm doing stem cells. So I went home, I got off of, because I was in excruciating pain. I got off of the painkillers, you know, I'm not an athlete. So I was able to do that marijuana. I got on the marijuana and I was like, I'm not getting hooked on no opioids. And this is what I'm doing. I did it. And then they sent me home with a hospital bed and a physical therapist to teach me how to move around and lift myself up out of the bed. And I literally low crawled upstairs, threw myself into the bathtub. And I couldn't get out. Like, I was so frustrated. I was like, oh my God, I just need to hurry up and move. So as soon as I can like walk. I mean, I started doing stem cells, and as soon as I can walk, man, I was like jogging. And the physical therapist that was showing up every day was like, you can't do that. I'm like, what? Who says I can't do that? I'm like, I did stem cells. He's like, I don't know how stem cells works, but like, he's seen my full recovery within 6 months. My after image show that my pubic symphysis fully healed. This is 10 centimeter fracture. Dr. Jason had one. He broke his pubic symphysis as well too. He had a pelvic fracture, and he did stem cell therapy. He didn't even remember he did stem cell therapy because he was so doped up off the meds that they gave him. I sent one of my my NPs at the time down to his house to go do it. And then we were talking about it later on, and he was like, oh yeah, I had a pubic bone fracture. I'm like, I know, we healed it with stem cells. He's like, wait, you injected me with stem cells? I'm like, we sent her to your house. Like, you got stem cells. And he was like, what? And then he was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. And it was like, yeah, you know, so like, it's, I've seen it do some crazy, crazy stuff. But like, sometimes when these providers start talking about it, I'm like, I don't want to publish that. That's like really far out there. It did what? You know? I'm like, that's like, I don't think that falls in any of the research guidelines. And I always tell people, I'm like, you look, you could do what you want with it because it's for research purposes. I'm like, but just don't be injecting no eyes with it, because there's like that famous story of like that one patient that went blind post stem cell therapy, and it was because they injected him in the eyeball. I'm like, it's common sense. Oof. Don't do that.
Imagine.
Yeah, but I mean, everywhere else, I mean, I've seen it being used for all kinds of stuff, down all the way from fetuses. Like, I injected myself. What was it? Me injecting myself. But like, I gave myself the stem cells. I had a provider come down and give it to me post-COVID. They said that the baby had a tumor in his head, a tumor in his gallbladder, and that he was going to potentially have autism. So we stem celled me up. Baby was born totally fine. And I have the before scans and after scans of them saying that everything was okay. So, I mean, so we've done like from fetuses, even from myself, down to like, you know, on their deathbed, seeing them getting back up again.
Incredible results.
Yeah. The owner of, is it a Guerrero Tortilla Company? I think, yeah, he's the father, and he's got his kids like running everything, but he was on his deathbed and they were like, if you can get him up. And I was like, I don't think they believe that. Yep. He could get back up, because he got back up, man. He changed his trust and all kinds of shit. He was like,
never wish for what I you was might
like,
can get.
Damn, now the whole family's like in lawsuits and shit, like fighting over the family money. He was like, I heard everything on my deathbed. I'm like, oh my God, I'm just here to see if you're okay. I was like, dang, I don't think they believe that he would actually get back up and go back to like working. He was in his walker. I mean, he was in his 90s. He was in his walker, but I seen him walking around that mansion, man, and he was like ramming into shit. And it was the provider there had my PA there, and I had my my nurse at the time that was with me at the time. She was there. We're all there in this big ass mansion, you know? And I'm like, I never felt so uncomfortable in my life, because I was like, oh my God, this is such an awkward thing. You know, the mom comes in with dark sunglasses and she's like, how are we doing today? And I'm like, oh my God, this is just like, felt so like, I've been around a plenty of billionaires. They don't act like that. This whole thing was like, it was just very uncomfortable. It was like, and I kept asking, how's your dad? And finally they're like, well, he's about to be here right now, so you can ask him yourself. I'm like, he's walking. He's like, comes walking in, and he's hitting everything. Like, he's hitting marble tables. He's hitting like this nice ass like oak desk, and he's just ramming all kinds of shit with his walker. And he's like, where the fuck I need to get home? And I'm like, oh my God. And this guy's like, and they were just going to do an IV on him. But because of who they were, we brought, you know, a PA with us, the provider, so that if there was any provider questions, you know, that the provider was there on top of the nurse, you know. So they tell the provider, well, what the fuck are you doing here? You don't do nothing. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I mean, they were just so raw and just like, I mean, it was just a very uncomfortable situation there. But I mean, I've seen all kinds of shit. Like, yeah. I really have. I think even too with the military case with, you know, we stem celled up this guy with his arm that he had gotten severed off in a malfunction with his parachute, and Walter Reed reattached it. And then he got, because he's still active duty Green Beret, they got permission to send him down to the Institute because they felt like they were just going to go straight amputate like the whole thing. They said, well, the blood flows there, but the nerves are dead. And then we regrow the nerve. Then all of a sudden, because it was two different teams. It's our team and then Walter Reed. Then Walter Reed said, oh, we're going to go back in and start reattaching muscles. And we're like, so they cut through the severed nerves that we regrew, which was like a miracle to even regrown, which they have the evidence that, hey, regrew the nerve. But the arm's still not fully working. But this function came back. Then he's like, well, I'm getting like this phantom syndrome where like I feel shooting pain. I don't know if it's like me actually feeling it or whatnot. And there just wasn't enough patients for stem cells, like in that case, you know what I mean? And because they went in, got everything. Like, I mean, they injected everything all along the arm. And no, he came back and Jason re-injected him, Dr. Jason. And then he started getting the sensation down to like around this area where he could feel this whole thing. So then they wanted to cut him open again. He was like, no, I'm done. Like, I finally got this back after you guys messed it up again. Like, he's a medic. So he's like, he really did push back. Then they did it one more time. They foundation paid for him and he got everything re-injected. Well, at the time his wife messaged and said, he's freaking out right now because he's feeling sharp shooting pain in his fingers. Like, he hasn't felt that. Well, Walter Reed didn't wait, and they just did below the elbow amputation on him. And he just sent me the message just like randomly. And it was like a picture of him in the hospital bed in the military hospital, just like, here's my arm, you know? And I'm like, ah, we were working on that, you know? But it takes time.
I mean, it's like me. I was the same. I was stiff for 5 years, very, very, very stiff on my foot. And after I left here, the treatment, I started feeling my fingers again and movement.
Yeah, your toes, right? And how long did it take for you to start feeling your toes?
And my driving, everything.
How long did it take for you to feel the movement in your toes? Because you hadn't felt your toes for a long time.
For five, well, ever since the surgery.
Wow. I mean, 5 years, did you not feel your toes?
I didn't even want to touch my leg of how funny and how stiff it was.
I'm so happy that you've gotten your life back and you're still continuing to get healthier. Like, I'm trying to talk you into the test because I really feel that, like, if you get on testosterone, everybody's lagging it and stuff like that, you know. I just feel like, you know, it's something natural that you have in your body. And as you get older, we have to supplement everything that we're no longer getting or we die. That's what it is. Like, you know, our genetics have something that's pre-positioned in there. And it's like after age, you know, 35, stop, you know, maybe the genetics say stop producing as much melatonin. So then by the time you're like in your 50s, you're not sleeping a full night's rest. You're waking up more often. By the time you're 80s, you're up all night. You're like a night owl, right? And you're like, why are these old people can't sleep? And it's like, because they no longer have melatonin produced in their body. Or maybe they're no longer eating the foods that would help produce more melatonin in their body and stuff like that. The same thing with testosterone. I think one of the episodes with Dr. Jason, we talked about like what age, he has a men's clinic. And I said, what age are you seeing now the testosterone starting to drop? Because before it was like 35, now it's 25. 25 years old.
It's a kid.
These are kids that don't have testosterone. Like, it's got to be, I personally, I feel like it's in the meat, like the food. The food's just got like pumped with, you know, estrogen and hormones, you know, and it's making guys more female-like, you know. You're also starting to see more male breasts, which is a hormonal thing. They can not even be like super overweight. They could just be skinny and they're just like growing that more. Yep. And so that's like an estrogen issue. And then also the water. I feel like it's got to be in the water or something. It's coming from somewhere.
It's got to be something's got to be coming. Some things
I always tell everybody: drink spring water, eat like as raw as you can, right? More veggies, as green as you can. I was really shocked because I got off my game for a little bit. You know, like it happens every now and then. Like you go super healthy, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know what? It's the holidays. It was really the holidays that threw me off. I was like Thanksgiving, December, and I was like, I'm gonna eat whatever the hell I want. Like, I don't eat, a lot of people think I eat healthy because I want to stay skinny. It has nothing to do with my weight. I am back to my pre-pregnancy weight after five kids, but I want it for the health. I want to feel good. And so naturally, you know, your fat just becomes super lean. So I look super skinny. So people are like, oh my God, like eat something. I'm like, I'm trying to actually build muscle right now, but like, I'm not trying to lose the weight, but that's why I dieted, just for health reasons. I like the way it feels when I'm on an alkaline diet. And so I was like, so scared. I was like, oh my God, cause I work in this field. I was scared to test my urine pH. I was like, oh, it's going to be so off. And when I see it, I'm going to have to go on like full throttle diet. And I was like, let's see how far I am. So I actually retested myself yesterday and I was shocked. I was like between a 6.5 and a 7. I was like, whoa, look at you. Like, I was shocked because some of my sick patients are like in the 3s, 4s. Cancer patients are super acidic. And so that just clearly when you test your urine pH, will actually show where your health is. Like, you know, it's like a pool, right? And the pH goes low, fungus grows in the pool while you're 98% water. So that's what disease is. So like for you, your athletes, and for anybody that's listening, you gotta test that you can buy them off of Amazon, the little urine, it's saliva or urine. I like to do urine. And I like to test the second urine of each day versus the first, because that urine has been sitting in there overnight, usually acidic. But like you test it so you could see where you're at. WebMD just published something on this and I was shocked. It's called, type in WebMD urine pH.
Okay. That's where you have the power.
Cell power. I always recommend Cell Power. So what you do to fix this is you do not drink alkaline water. Do not drink alkaline water. That is the worst. Your stomach is super acidic and you're going to pour alkaline water into a super acidic stomach. And then what happens is your body's just going to produce more acid. So I always tell everybody, don't do that. But these are pH balancing drops. It's like shocking a pool, right? So this is what's going to get your body to that 7.35, you know, and they even do it. I know people that have put it on, like, you know, when they go overseas and then they get those vaccine shots that just kind of leave you scarred. Mm-hmm. And yep. So somebody put it on there and it drew up literally all this stuff came out like a bruise like this big. And it just like drew out all kinds of stuff came out. Looked like little pieces of metal coming out. I was like, what? So, I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff topically. I've also seen cancer patients put it on topically and it just like opens up the tumor so that the tumor can start bleeding out. Like it's usually got pus and fluid in there. So right now that you're fixing that, any issues that you had that were lingering are resolving. So you're taking the drops. Have you tested yourself yet?
No.
Okay. So it's okay because it's not going to throw you over. It's not going to throw you under. But I would suggest so that you know where you're at, then you can really determine. For instance, I had a guy call me from Arizona. He's somebody that I consult on holistic functional medicine. And he's like, hey, I'm doing the Cell Power. I'm doing the liver detox, you know, that you talked to me about. And he's doing ketamine treatments, which I recommended for him to do out there in Arizona. So he's doing them. He's like, wow, thank you so much for recommending this. Like, my life has changed. And I said, he's like, I want to be honest with you. I'm having an anniversary party coming up and I want to drink. And I'm like, well, what are you going to drink? Bunch of beer? And I said that because that's full of yeast. He said, no, no beer. And I said, okay, so it's liquor. What kind of liquor? Are we talking about tequila, which is like an anti-inflammatory from a plant? Are we talking about vodka? He's like, vodka. So what do you mix the vodka with? He said, water. And I said, okay, well, that's better than drinking the beer. But I mean, it's still not good for you, right? And I said, so this is what I want you to do so that, because we're making permanent lifelong changes, right? If you're going to do something like go out and drink alcohol, you got to know how that's going to affect your health, right? That makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, so I told him, I want you to do a urine pH test in the morning when you wake up so you could see what your first urine looks like from overnight. I go, and then I want you to do the second one, which is going to be probably the most accurate one. I go, and then I want you to go through your day like you're going to do, go party, do what you said you're going to do, drink your vodka. And then at night, I want you to urine test and I want you to see how much it's going to change. And so I said, when you see that change, now you're going to know that you can't do that long term, right? So like if you do it, do it in moderation. And if you're balanced, then you could afford to take a little hit like that, right? Like, all right, I'm gonna have my one drink, and I know I'm gonna have my one drink, but you're not gonna go overboard with it, because you're gonna be like, oh shit. Like, here I am detoxing out my liver. I'm like, here you are doing all this work, putting in all this work to get healthy, and then you're gonna go drink, and you don't know what that's gonna cause. Maybe if you have that one drink, then you know what damage at least it's gonna do, right? So you can have that balance where, hey, what is it gonna take for me to be able to enjoy the cake and have that drink while I have the balance in my life? And so I think that's what people struggle with. It's like, they just don't want to, maybe they don't think that it's that big of a deal, right? Like before, you never heard anything about pH.
Never.
No doctors ever talk about it.
Never.
And in fact, I've had other providers get into it with some other providers that I teach this to, saying that it's bad to have urine pH that high. And I said, that's actually absolute crap. And when I Googled it, it was like WebMD and all these other credible sources are talking about why it's important. And I think they confuse it with the blood pH, you know, but we're not messing with blood pH. It's totally separate. Like, this is like, you're filled with water. Water pH is very important. And they're now using it to diagnose disease. That's functional medicine. And so that's not something you can go to your Western medicine doctor that they would even know about. Or maybe they know about it and they just don't want to touch the topic because they're like, I can't recommend anything. I don't know what it does, right? And so that's why your normal doctor that you talk to about is not going to really understand it. This is very holistic medicine. And how have you felt since you started working on your pH? Because it's been a while now.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I feel good all around, different. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell exactly if it's the stem cells or cell power. Or
they're both. Honestly, when I have people.
But I've been doing it for sure. I mean.
And I'm pretty sure you're still drinking. You're not like concentrating on your diet 100%.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I weigh myself every once in a blue moon. You know, so I'm trying to maintain weight.
So you're trying. But the thing is, like, even with you going all over the place and you still having these things in, you're still getting healthy. You still lost 30 pounds. You still look a lot better. So like, even the patients that are not going full throttle with it, that can make some slight changes, there's still life-changing things.
Definitely. I mean, like me, I mean, I'm not doing 100%. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Found a balance.
You know, I love
what I'd be able to.
I get the truth from everybody. Like, I mean, they'll call me up.
If I wake up in the morning and I'm really lighting weight of the way that I want to be at, I can have a little something better that day.
A little, you know, carajillo.
Find a balance. Yeah. Well, that's included no matter what the weight is.
The carajillo he introduced me to is like this drink. It's what kind of alcohol do they use?
It's liquor 43 from Spain, and they mix it with espresso coffee.
Yeah.
Mexico is very popular. And now it's all over the place here in the United States.
Yeah. So we went to Mama Por Dios and then we had a carajillo. And then this guy, he said it was the best carajillo he's ever had.
Yeah, my life.
So I go there all the time and I get them now. And my kids are like, man, what kind of drink are they making you? You know, they're like burning the stage
show.
And it's a big show. I took my boyfriend. He got it. He tried it. He's like, man, this is really good. I think most people, and you don't even really taste the liquor, to be honest with you.
No, not really. I mean, Liquor 43 is a sweet liquor. It's not something hard. It's very light.
It is very light. It's not something you would even feel buzzed off of.
I'm getting thirsty already. So.
I know. Definitely. Well, kind of going back. So we talked about stem cells. We talked about health, and then you have your upcoming show. Because I really want to touch on your fans. You got boxing fans that are watching this. I know you on a personal level. So I don't ever like dig and pry. Like some of the fans are like, they know everything going on about you. So like, what are some of the upcoming things or stuff that you want to talk about to the fans?
Yeah, I was telling you about our upcoming show in Japan. That we didn't finish. We went to another topic, but besides Takuma Inoue defending his bantamweight title against former world champion Jerwin and Cajas. Also, Junto Nakatani is going to look for his third world title belt in a different division. He's fighting Alejandro Santiago, who's the WBC champion from here, from Tijuana, from nearby.
Oh, nice.
And that's the co-feature bout. And then Christian Casegua from Mexicali, he's fighting Koisei Tanaka, who's a three-time WBO champion.
All in the same fight.
For the vacant.
Wow.
Junto Nakatani moved up. He was the super flyweight champion. He's moving up to bantamweight. And Tanaka and Bacasegua from Mexicali are fighting for the vacant title that Junto left. So it's three world title fights, and they're going to be on ESPN Plus. And then we go from there, March 2nd, we go to Puerto Rico on the zone. Amanda Serrano is fighting, and on the undercard, my WBO junior flyweight world champion, Jonathan Bomba Gonzalez, is defending his title against also my guy. This is WBO interim world champion, René Santiago. Wow. Both Puerto Ricans, they're fighting each other for to have only one champion because Gonzalez got ill a couple of times.
Wow.
Before, and then from that March 2nd, we go March 8th to Nicaragua, to the Faraos Casino. We have ESPN Plus and ESPN Knockout. We have a great show coming from there.
I love it. God,
we're keeping busy.
That's awesome. That's a busy schedule for you. My God, that's a lot of fights.
Yep.
So what consists on the promotion side? Like, how do you get involved, like, for promoting the fights and stuff like that? How does that work?
Well, you have to promote the event, the whole event. You have to contract the fighters, venue, boxing commission.
So you have to do the whole thing.
Yeah, look for sponsorship, TV.
How are you so calm all the time? Oh, you got, like, so much... going on.
Well, you've got
a great team, right?
No, yeah. And also, you know, I've been doing this all my life. So, I mean, and I have my son who's supporting me a lot too. Now.
I see him. He's traveling everywhere.
Because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm more of an old timer. I grew up with my father, with my father's friends. And everything changed, like we said at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, now everything is newer. Things are different. We got better things for fighters to do for
yes.
their health.
Yes.
And, you know, it's everything is changing. So I'm trying to change with that.
You're trying to get in with the new tech, right?
Yep.
With the update.
It's hard, but I'm sure I'll make it.
That's cool. And I'm sure your son's just running in circles because he's like, he understands. He comes from like that younger generation
yep.
where he's just like, he's in with it. He's wrapped with it. So that's,
oh, don't worry. You said you worry too much.
Funny. Yeah, because he's like, I see him on Instagram. He's just like all over the place.
Yeah.
I see him. I think I was looking at the WBO when they came out with this latest post on, you know, saying that fighters are responsible for what they put in their bodies.
Yep.
And if they test negative, you know, then they have to be held to that standard,
yes.
which I agree with. And because then otherwise it's not fair. Right. So everything we do is like very holistic medicine, but we do take fighters to the next level. And when I was looking that up, I seen your son, by the way, kind of jumping back. He was on the post with the WBO. So I seen him there. But then I seen it was connected as a on your guys's All-Star Boxing page. And I was like, oh, cool. So they collaborated. Yeah. So you guys, you got a tight relationships in there.
And yes.
That's awesome.
I have good relationships with all organizations. All four organizations,
yeah.
But I grew up with Mendoza, WBA president. Now he's my generation.
Mm-hmm.
His father grew up with my father. And
yeah.
His son is growing up with my son.
Yeah.
Mauricio Sulaiman, the same thing, you know, the WBC president from Mexico. Jose Sulaiman is my father's generation. Mauricio is my generation.
I just see, like, honestly, like, I feel like there is, like, okay, so you have all the boxing promoters that are well-known. You have all, you know, this some good managers that are well known. And I feel like there's just I don't want to compare them, but I see the difference in the promotions. And I see like that there is a fad, I guess you could say, like there's a vibe to it. And what you have and what you've created is very, very classic. It's classic boxing. There's no bullshit. There's no drama behind the scenes. I mean, it's like a very respectable organization. You see some other boxing promotions that are going on, and you just see a lot of bullshit. I'm sorry to say it, but it's like, and I don't want to compare the two because really on a bigger scale, what you're seeing is like, I don't know. It just feels like what you're doing is so much bigger because like you're in Japan, you're like traveling all over the place. And even though these other promoters, they're doing that, I just feel like they're not concentrating on like the bigger picture of like growing the organization. It's just very local. very Vegas. Let's go to Vegas, Puerto Rico, and stay in LA.
Yeah.
Type of theme.
Well, now, yeah, it's, and now it's changing too, because now a lot of things are going to Saudi Arabia now, to Riyadh.
So I'm saying, I mean, you're traveling everywhere with it. And not now, everybody's doing that.
Now it's a lot, all of the good fights are going there now.
Yeah. Like I question, like, I don't know. I think because JoJo's just such a good friend of mine, I'm like, why is he not fighting in like Japan or fighting in all these different places, you know, and getting these like good fights, because he's so good at what he does. But I guess that it goes back to promotion, right?
Yeah, I mean, like let's say, I mean, there are different people. There's a saying that my godfather Rafael Mendoza told me a long time ago. He says, if you're a world champion, means world champion. I mean, it doesn't mean Las Vegas champion, Los Angeles champion, Mexico champion. It means world.
Yeah.
So you should be able to fly all and fight all over the world. And that's how it used to be. And, you know, a lot of people like to fight locally, you know, to have better protection or fans or be on the home court advantage. But back in the days, in our days, I mean, I had a champion, Wilfredo Vasquez, that I had, a world champion from Puerto Rico. He was three-time WBA champion. We went all over the world with him. We won fights in France three or four times. We won in Italy. Yeah. We won in Japan four times. We won in Thailand. And he won all over. He fought in Vegas. He fought in Puerto Rico. And we won all the fights. I mean, he lost some, but he went and won many world title fights abroad. And I think that's in the fighter, you know, that's, you know.
I think sometimes too, though, you're signed with a promotion that's not pushing that agenda, or they're trying to stay safe and they're just making their money where they know that they can make it. And Vegas is obviously a big money maker. And so they just figure like, hey, we'll just keep throwing these big, you know, fights at the Honda Center and sell out, you know. And so, I mean, everybody comes down here to make the money, and they want those big fights. But I also think that, yeah, like I was questioning that. I've never talked to JoJo about it, but I was thinking about that, like in general for the fighters, as I get deeper into the boxing world, I'm like, why do some people travel and some people are not traveling like so much? Or how, like, because I see you in Japan and I see you traveling all over the place and I'm like, how does this work? Are these different divisions or what the hell is going on? Like you don't know, but then all of a sudden you start realizing that it's just different boxing promotions and some are doing it on different scales or some are pushing for worldwide. But that to me is classic boxing. When I grew up watching it with my grandfather, I remember seeing it going on like, hey, this guy's fighting from Brazil. This guy's fighting from, you know, Saudi Arabia. This guy's flying in from Mexico. And even though Mexico was like a big hub for boxing, they were traveling all over the place to have these fights. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it used to be. That's what I told you. That's the way back in the days. Fighters will travel. I mean, they wouldn't be afraid of now they might be afraid of a local decision or the trainer says, oh, we're going to go to the other guy's hometown.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get paid well, I mean, and you have a professional team around you, you can fight anywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as you make sure the organizations have good judges.
Right.
I mean, when the bell rings, it's only going to be the referee and your opponent in there, and that's it.
I love that. Yeah. I think it's the lower local levels that they're dealing more with the politics. Because they're trying to build up the fighters and stuff like that. But once you can land a good fight, and I think his career specifically will open up, like after these next two fights, I think then he'll start having some different conversations, especially if he's, you know, he looks freaking amazing. I can't wait to watch that uppercut, man. I'm like JoJo, that uppercut. Come on, bro, that uppercut. Like, he's already got me my tickets for the fight.
He looks amazing. He said,
I got two tickets for you and your boyfriend right there. I sit with the family. And then I always sit with the fighters right there. I never talk to them, but I sit next to them. They come back. They're all fucked up, beat up and shit sitting next to me. I'm like, do you need an ice pack? You know, and they're just like, some of them win, some of them lose, but I'm sitting next to all of them. And then I think everybody always looks at me like, who the hell is she? Like, why is she sitting right here in front of you? I'm like, I'm a nobody.
The new godmother of boxing.
The new godmother. I know, seriously, I'm like so on the DL, you know, like, but it's dangerous stuff when you start talking about like what can I do for a fighter? Right? What are the doctors not able to do or whoever? I don't know why God built me the way that he did, but I just understand it. But like, why can't I take a fighter and get him healthier? Right? we talked about this. JoJo had his whole medical team and they couldn't do it, right? And it was like all of a sudden it came into his life. And I think it's because when you're coming from a functional medicine point of view and you're passionate about it and you understand, I had cancer in the past, so I understand all about getting healthy, right? It's not a fake conversation to me. It's like when I talk to you, I'm not making no money off of, hey, get on Cell Power, detox your liver and stuff. So it takes a person that really has the passion and really cares about humanity and health and like things changing. I tell people all the time, spread the liver detox far and wide. It will change your life, you know? And then I have providers I work with and I'm like, have you done the liver detox? They're like, no. And I'm like, why haven't you? Or medical staff, I'm like, why have you not done it, right? And it's like they see people moving and changing and like their lives changing. They see them coming in and out of the clinic saying, thank you for saving my life. You know, and it's like, why when they went to all these different clinics, they couldn't do it, but then they come to our institute, they get, you know, treated by our medical staff in stem cells, but then there's the whole holistic side of it of like, what is health? I teach them it. We get everybody on these proper diets and some athletes come in, they're like, no, I'm already eating good. And I'm like, well, do you know what your blood type is? They're like, no. I'm like, then how do you even know that you're eating good? Because there's chemical reactions. How do you know? Like, you're okay, you're eating veggies and chicken, but what if chicken is causing autoimmune disease for you? And that's why you're really not healthy.
I don't know what my blood type is.
See? And then so
and
if
I
you
feel
don't
bad
know,
I'm saying it, but it's true.
But it's true. It's the truth. True. And I love that you're coming out and you're saying that because that's where everybody starts, right? Like there was a period of time where I had no idea. I had no idea. I mean, that's how I landed with cancer. I had no idea. No idea about my pH, no idea about my blood type. And when I found out, I love avocados. I grew up with a massive avocado tree. So big. It was huge. Bigger than my house, like three times as bigger than my house. And the dogs would eat the avocados. I would eat the avocado. I mean, we had avocado tuna, avocado sandwiches. Everything was avocado. It's my favorite. And then I found out that it caused autoimmune disorder for me. And I was like, I have no chemical reaction. I don't break out with hives, nothing. I'm not allergic to it. And it was like, when I really read it, I found out that it's not about allergies. It's not about any of that. It's about there's a chemical reaction that occurs. Tomatoes, I knew didn't make me feel good. But then I found out they're dropping my blood sugar levels. Tomatoes and me just don't do well. Like, so that's me eating pizza every time I decide to cheat. And I'm like, pizza, I love it. And then all of a sudden I'm like food coma. Well, what I thought was food coma, it's actually my blood sugar levels dropping and I need to recover off of the damn pizza, right? And so you're talking about like world champion athletes, right? Like you got to know this stuff so that you could treat your assets, your athletes. Right. And it's like in every other, like all sports athletes, like you want to be the best at what you're doing. You want to be the healthiest. Like you don't need to come into the institute. You don't need to spend all this money on getting healthy and buying all these supplements and stuff. You just need to eat as raw as you possibly can, according to your ABO food type diet. Take the Cell Power. It costs like 30 something bucks online, right? You got it on Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you drink some spring water, you know, that's the best kind of water you could drink because it's not really contaminated. And you drink natural spring water and that's it. You get out and you get some sun and you move around as much as you can. Maybe until you get healthy, you take some aspirin. You're taking aspirin. Take yep. We're all about, you had heard about like blood thinning and vascularity. It's huge. It's like your energy. And then you got to supplement as needed. I mean, of course, we have these leagues that we have to make sure that we're not putting certain things in our body. But like if you're not a sports athlete and you are able to get on testosterone, you should be on testosterone. Our doctor's on testosterone. If you're not competing, then you should definitely be on it. Why? Because, you know, your levels, and this is for men and women, the levels deplete so much that how could you truly live a quality of life? You know, you get grumpy, you get tired, your libido's down, your whole life just kind of ends up being a hermit because you're like, oh, I don't want to do none of this stuff. And you don't even have the ability to like the patience to finish listening through somebody's conversation because you're just like over it. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt like that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I mean, I've seen your health change. I can't wait to see you get on test because I'm like, you're going to be running circles. You'll be like right there next to your son. Like, you need to get on this stuff, you know? You say you want to be your equal with your wife.
I was
wife.
Almost like that after my my stem cell treatment.
Yeah, you get a little boost after it, and you're going to...
I got a lot of boost. I was running out of boost. We had our show at the I told you about WBO convention at the ESPN show in Nicaragua.
That was what, 2 weeks?
Running all over the place.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks later?
That was 4 weeks later. The first one was four
weeks. Perfect, so a month. I always tell people if they're athletes and they want to get stem cell therapy, do it like where you have at least a month until your main event, because if you're treating any type of orthopedic stuff, it flares up. It's an inflammatory. I mean, it's sending your natural body stem cells there on top of these other ones. So your brain's going to send an inflammatory response. So people think, like, I'm going to get stem cells, I'm going to feel better. I'm like, actually, you're going to feel like shit when you first get it. Yeah. So it's going to inflame and it's going to keep the stem cells there. And then after, every day gets better until like a week, two after.
It's a process, but it's worth it. I can tell you, I can guarantee you it's worth it. I mean, it's worth it. The pain that you have to go over, the pain to get to the results, is worth it.
It is. It's so expensive to be in this field. My God. Like, you know how many times I just feel like just throwing in the towel and just being like, I'm done. You know, because the resources, when we were talking about this, the resources needed to do cancer research, like those patients aren't paying. Or the research that I had to put in for the military guys, that was all donated product, like donated stem cells in order to get the results. Now we have foundations that pick up the tab, but I still do donations. Like, there's so much that... in order to render the results to prove that, you know, the stem cells can work on a certain indication, or even these big leagues, like in order to prove to them, like for them to use it on the NFL, like you have these big time coaches, they're like, fix my knees. And if you fix my knees, you know, that's all donated, thousands of dollars. So Could you imagine? I'm pretty much running a boxing promotion without running a boxing promotion. You know what I'm saying? There's so much money coming out. They're like little assets everywhere.
Without no
I'm like,
sponsors,
you better make me money.
No sponsors,
you,
no
sir.
TV rights, no anything.
No, nothing.
No ticket sales.
I know, no ticket sales, no nothing. I'm like, I better start selling Stem Cell Queen shirts or some shit, something. Something better come up.
Definitely.
I think the goal for me is like, I want to stay on the research side. I really do. Like, I don't want to be in the therapeutic side. The clinic's pretty much just a playground for us to get the results and to get the protocols done. Aside from that, it's shut. Like, we are really right now concentrating on biotech stuff. And then for a little while too, like with my whole divorce, I had to take a break because I was just like, you know what? I don't know what direction I'm going to go in. And I really need to find myself and pray and make sure that my intent and what I'm moving forward with is the right one. And I hated being in cancer research. I'll be honest with you. I hated it because I hated seeing the patients pass that like were coming that were like too late. It was just too late for them. And they're like, we'll try anything. And it's like, you have desperate families and it's like, you don't want to take money from them. So then we started paying. We were like, we don't want to take anything from those patients. I mean, like, they're going through so much. So, I mean, but even the ones that we did take, I will tell you, we did make their quality of life better. They were able to pass without being on, like, medicated up. The family was able to...
Or without pain.
Coherent, with no pain, coherent. People, they could say
that's
goodbye
important.
To.
That's important. Quality of life is very, very,
it
very
is.
Important.
I'm always like, no pain.
I learned it the hard way with my parents. And the quality of life is that's...
It is everything. And we're all going to get older. And so my whole thing is like, you know, like these things that I've learned and the results that I've seen, I just kind of feel like me being the prior cancer patients, I'm like, how could I give up? You know, how could I know what I know and have actual results, actual before and after results, MRI labs, proving that I could cure cancer. And then I'm just going to throw in the towel. When you have like, hospitals that are just doing these massive organizations. And I think it's spiritually and emotionally tiring because I'm still expected to move on with my day. But in the background, I'm dealing with family on the daily cancer clinics that I'm supporting, that I'm selling stem cells to, that I'm supporting in a much bigger way because I dropped down the protocols of how to properly detox them, how to make them alkaline. But I'm also learning from the other clinics too, because I'm getting the feedback. like, hey, this is how I made this patient more alkaline faster in 30 days. I'm like, oh my God, we just dropped it down from, you know, a couple months, 3 months to get a patient, 3 to 4 months to get a patient alkaline down to 30 days on a terminal cancer patient. That's huge. So like, it's all resources that we need. And so it's like, when you are like, you're not playing in like hundreds of thousands, you start playing in like millions to like billions of dollars of like, what, like, okay, in order for me to drop this down, this is what it's going to take. You feel defeated. And so do I feel like I could change athletes? I feel like I can breed a whole nother athlete of a person and still abide by all of the different WBO rules. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then also too, like, I feel like there's two different worlds. I live in the boxing world and with all the athletes, right? And then I live in the world of cancer. And it's like, I just, so many times I'm just so exhausted with the cancer that I'm just like, man, I don't want to do this anymore, you know? But I'm like, then I ask myself, like, did God really bring me to cure my own cancer, healed me? And then I heard his words loud and clear, like, hey, you know, do you want to learn how to treat these cancer patients? Do you want to cure them? It's very simple. And I didn't doubt it. And then here I am, you know, almost, what, 12 years later with this Stem Cell Institute.
Yeah, he blessed you. You're blessing people. Definitely.
So I'm like, can you just give me the patience so I don't feel like I like want to give up? Like, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, man, it's growing so big? Like, can I manage this even with your team? Does it ever feel
definitely,
like that?
Definitely happens to everyone, I believe.
And I think it's like, I'm also treading waters that haven't been treaded before, like in history. And so I don't really have much people that I can turn to be like, hey, can I get some advice from you? Because there's success in my fingertips everywhere I turn. There's money to be made everywhere, right? Opportunities, people that want to partner. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Because time is money. Also, time is like, you know, what you're made for, yep. Right? Like, I don't want to spend time on a med spa, right? Like, even though I own a med spa, I don't want to spend my time there. And I've been very vocal about that. I want it to be fully operational without me. Right. And yeah. It's like, because that's not what I made for, even though I keep getting drawn into certain things, which I don't know why God draws me into the boxing world. But I do feel like there's been like so much passion in me working with the athletes and seeing them get back in there and then doing that same exact detox program on the athletes and seeing them turning into a whole nother beast of an athlete. I'm like, there's like the same way that I feel like in working with a cancer patient and seeing their tumors being drawn out, I get the same
same result, definitely.
I'm like, God,
because
like, I get so...
Sometimes they have the tools, you know, they have everything, they have the talent, but they're not doing things the right way.
I actually feel like I may feel a little bit more excitement because it's a lot funner when I'm on the sidelines and I, you know, or I'm ringside and I see an athlete performing and when they look at me, I'm like, I know the work that they put into their health, into their eating. Like, I mean, so there's sometimes where I'm like, damn, I'm gonna have to food prep for you because you're not doing it. Like, I know you you're like eating those carbs still. It's like the hardest thing for an athlete is to let go of those carbs.
Yeah, definitely.
They hate it. They're like,
especially for everyone that says you can't have this, that's what you want to have.
Yeah, like carbs is like the worst. It turns into sugar. I think the average American eats a pound of sugar a month.
That's all.
Could you imagine if I went like this and I said, eat that pound of sugar? You'd be disgusted. You'd be like, hell no, I'm never doing that. But then you are doing it. And if not more, because we're eating the tortillas, we're eating the bread, we're eating, you know, even the veggies, you know, they're all carbs. So like, it's got to be well-rounded. You got to know exactly what you're supposed to eat. So you have to know your blood type. And even within your blood type, it'll tell you like the breads you got to eat. Like I always thought wheat bread was a better option over white bread. Right? I think everybody has that preconception, right? Like they're like, nope, white's bad. Anything white is bad. Wheat is better. But then I looked on my thing and it said wheat is bad for me, that white bread is an actual better option for B blood type than wheat bread. I'm like, what? I was mind blown. I mean, when I seen my thing, but then it made sense because I knew when I was eating a seafood, very Mediterranean style diet, like cucumbers and an onion and like, you know, those little cucumbers that they have, the Persian ones and like Mediterranean, just straight seafood. Like when I eat sushi and stuff like that, I feel great. I'm like, man, I could go cycle after this. I feel okay. Like in 2 hours, I'm ready to eat again. My metabolism just speeds up when I eat like that. I don't ever feel full. And then I'm hungry right away. And it's because I'm able to eat a lot of it. And I don't truly ever get full off of it. That was like my diet was like straight Mediterranean seafood diet. And I can feel when I'm eating salmon, I eat a ton of salmon. Like when I eat salmon and I eat lobster and I eat very little red meats, my body is like, I wake up 5 a.m. I am like, I could wake up in the middle of the night. I never feel groggy from sleep, like a lack of sleep. I wake up early in the morning, 4 a.m, like nothing. And I'll go cycle and like nothing, you know? But then when I'm off my diet, I feel like when I fall asleep, it is a heavy sleep. I'm like, I don't know why I'm so tired. It's because I'm eating like shit, yeah. You know? And so I enjoy it right now. I'm drinking my green tea. Green tea is always a great option. It's on most people's diet. And it's an antifungal. It's really good. But just keep in mind, guys, everything you put in your mouth and everything you drink has a pH on it. So you're doing those drops. But then if you're eating like shit, then you're counteracting the whole point of you taking those drops, right? So even though we have the specific diet we're supposed to be on, within that diet, you want to still eat an alkaline diet. Like you still need your proteins and all that stuff. You could still have healthy carbs and your fruits and stuff like that, but you want to limit. You don't want to have like a high fruit diet and say that's healthy because that's sugars, right? Or too much veggies. Like you got to have your portion. So I would say to start for anybody, do 80% of your day, a strict, like what you're supposed to be eating. And then 20%, do what you want, because that 20% will get smaller and smaller and smaller naturally. Like if you just implemented in one of those green drinks, like juicing in the morning, your body start craving that. Your cells are going to say like, that's what I want. And then your body holds on to fat for about 2 weeks before it starts to just kick it out and let it out. So even your cells are smart, and your cells are going to be like, you know what? This person, it feeds me a bunch of junk food and fake shit. So I'm going to hold on to the fat. That's why you see a lot of people that are obese and they're saying, I hardly eat, but they're eating like, you know, the problem is that the body, the cells know. They're like, when this person eats, they're giving me microwave food. It's killing the nutrients, which never use a microwave. It just kills everything you're eating. The whole point of why we eat is to give the cells what they need. And so if you're not going to do that, I'm very adamant. I'm like, I'd rather starve than eat microwave food or some shit like that. And everybody thinks like, oh, she's the Nazi about that, you know? And I'm like, but it makes sense. Like, otherwise my body is just going to hold on to fat. So what you got to do is you got to eat more often, and then you got to stay consistent. You stay consistent for a month, your cells are like, okay, this person's feeding me real legit nutrients. Just do a green shake in the mornings as much as you can. And you got to drink it right away. Don't let it sit. So like the ones that are sold, the only bad thing about them is like once you break open the plasma, you're supposed to digest that, not let it sit there. And so that's the only thing about that is like you're not getting the full health benefits. But even the store-bought ones are better than anything.
Yep.
So just implement that into your diet. And I think like you'll see how your body starts. You'll stop craving sugar. And as you become more alkaline, you'll stop craving sugar. So like, I'm sure you've probably seen even a change in that. You're not craving as much sugar?
A little bit.
Has it gotten better?
Yes, yeah. A lot better.
See?
A lot better.
Naturally.
Yep.
Just
like, I just need a little bit. I'm kind of tell you that.
Well, that's the 80-20. That's what I'm talking about.
I love sweets. So, I mean,
but it's gotten better. Yeah, that's the whole point. That's what I'm saying. It's like, as you become more alkaline, you can't fight what the body wants. And that's why I say give it more greens. It'll start to naturally want that. It'll cut out the sugar, because what craves the sugar is a fungus. Fungus is what eats the sugar. So that's why all these like extreme. And now when we talk about fungal or disease, like the most extreme you can be is cancerous, right? So those patients, they love sugar. Oh my God. And it's the worst drug to come off of. If you were to say, you know, how you say like, I just need a little bit, right? You're literally just feeding that fiend that, you know, your body wants. Like it'll fiend for it. You'd be like, I need it. It's just a little bit. If you completely cut it out, it'd be the worst pain that you ever go through. Like the worst pain. It's horrible. Like those cancer patients that get off complete sugar because they just crave it so much, they have to go on like a high THC tincture. They knock out for like 3 days. I'm like, just so that they don't feel it, because it's worse than coming off fentanyl. It's worse than coming off morphine. Cancer, I mean, sugar is the worst drug. People don't realize that. So you can't even come off of it cold turkey if you wanted to. So the best way to do it is just have those healthy green drinks. And then every morning, your body will start to crave those. You'll become more alkaline. And then after, your body will just be like, oh, I'll have something here and there. And then when you become super alkaline, like super, super alkaline, when you're like 7.35, 7.5, under 8, but like in your 7s, you won't even be able to eat that cake. Your body will just straight reject it. You'll feel like you're going to vomit. You'll be like, oh, I'm never eating that again. I remember the last time I became alkaline, I had chili cheese fries. That was like my go-to growing up. I was like, oh, I love chili fries. And I tried to eat it and I wanted to vomit. I was like, I can't even eat it if I wanted to. I had like a full-on meltdown. What's your favorite food?
You can tell it's everything.
what's your favorite? What's your, like, if you were on an island and you had to choose one food that you had to eat, what would you choose?
But I mean, like, Hispanic one thing. Food?
No, or like just... one, your one go-to. Like, if it was Hispanic, like tacos or like whatever. Well, your...
I'm a professional taco eater, but...
I think everybody is, right? Yeah. Like, I love tacos.
Yeah.
And it's like, when I started getting healthier, I would eat the same exact meat, but I would throw it in lettuce. So I started eating lettuce tacos. They taste just as good.
Yeah, they do. That's what I do with my burgers now. I do only
lettuce burger. I do that
lettuce
too.
Lettuce wrap.
I do lettuce wrap. In-N-Out has a really good burger. Have you had them? In-N-Out? Yeah. Yeah, of course, right? Well, I always have to ask now because not everybody's had
In-N-Out.
Well,
I mean, I haven't had it lots of times, but I've been there a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a really good lettuce wrap in that sauce or whatever. I know if you have stomach acid reflex problems, do not go there. Which, kind of speaking on that, a lot of people that have acid reflex want to take Tums, and it's killing the acid that's supposed to be in their stomach. They actually sell teas that are really good that can fix that acid reflex problem versus taking the Tums, because it'll just make the whole situation worse. But anyways, well, we'll make it short now because I want to make time for you to go grab food before you fly back out. So you're flying back. Now you're flying into Vegas.
Yes.
And what's going on in Vegas?
Teofimo Lopez is fighting Jermaine Ortiz on ESPN at the Mandalay Bay.
Nice.
Thursday night, and then the Super Bowl, but I'm not staying. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
You're
I'm
in going, and you're out.
I'm going back home Friday.
That's awesome. So he's going back to Florida Friday. And so you'll be in Vegas. You're going to jump on a plane here in about 2 hours. My God.
Yep.
So you're in and you're out. You're here. He's got his precious wife right here next to him. Protect that with everything you got. Because you know, you just don't see that nowadays. You know,
I think that's amazing. Yeah, it's hard. I don't see whatever she did for my parents too. You don't see that.
Yeah.
Either, but. That's
some hard
here.
Work and patience and dedication while you're traveling. She's doing caretaking. It's very, very, very hard. So hopefully I can get you up to par for where she is.
Yeah, please. then we talk.
Yeah, and then we'll talk and we'll go from there. But thank you for joining us again and coming back on the podcast. Really, I just wanted everybody to see my face because I've looked healthier. I've lost more weight. And then you've lost weight. And we don't look nothing like the last episode we did. So that's great. You're doing good. And then we'll get you stem celled up and you'll be on your way.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here again, and I'll swing by soon.
Yep. All right, guys. Peace out.